Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinosa with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Welcome, Imperial Valley. Welcome to your weekly wellness radio show, Let's Talk About It. This show is brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and I'm your co-host for today's show. If you would like to hear any of our shows in Spanish, please tune in on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7 to listen to our sister show, Expressate. If you'd like to revisit this show or one of our other shows or share a podcast, we'd love for you to do so. Just visit kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About and Expressate links on the right side of the page to find a show that interests you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website, which is bhs.imperialcounty.org. If you have any questions, you have any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. We also offer free community service training courses, which are open to the public, and we're always happy to welcome new participants. You can give us a call at 442-265-7442 to find out about any of our upcoming classes. If you'd like to stay connected with us, you can follow us on Facebook, Spotify, and Instagram. Give us a like, a care, a follow, just to stay up to date with all of our wellness resources and any of our upcoming events. With all that said, let me introduce you to my co-host, Berenice Flint, and she will introduce our guest for today's show.
Thank you, Patricia. It's so nice to be here today. And we have a wonderful topic that we're going to share with you. But before we welcome our guest, here's a thought. In today's world, we're constantly juggling responsibilities while trying to achieve what elusive work balance. Within our waking hours, we're trying to make time for our families, get in 10,000 steps, strength train or do cardio or both, trying to eat healthy, maintain a social life, give back to our community, stay on top of social media, manage other unexpected things life throws at us. And of course, let's not forget to drink our minimum of 8 glasses of water every day. So it's no wonder so many of us feel exhausted trying to keep up. Whether we're meeting all of these expectations or falling short of them, the pressure can catch up with us. We may even find ourselves feeling overwhelmed, overstimulated, stressed, anxious, unfocused, emotionally drained, and unable to truly enjoy the moments that matter most. If any of those sound familiar, or if any of that sounds familiar, or if you're simply looking for a way to prevent burnout before it happens, then today's show is for you. Joining us is our guest, who will share practical insights and strategies on how mindfulness can help us manage stress, restore balance, and become more present in our daily lives. So I am very happy to introduce and welcome Andrew Wells to our show today, who is going to talk to us about mindfulness. Welcome, Andrew. Andrew is an administrative analyst with Behavioral Health Services, and we're so happy to have you.
Hey, Berenice. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here today.
Awesome. So, Andrew, before we get to the hot topic that I think resonates with all of us, please tell us a little bit about yourself. Anything you would like to share with our audience before we get started?
Okay, perfect. So a little bit about me is that I have been working here for Imperial County Behavioral Health. We're going on 22 years this year. I did 19 years of clinical work working with patients, and currently I've been working in our quality management department, working with staff and the services that we deliver to our patients. So, for me, I think This topic has been really important. It's been something that I've been really invested in because I want to say it was about 10 years ago, the program that I was involved in, which was the Vista Sands program, we were looking to roll out some sort of mindfulness curriculum for kids to help kids learn how to kind of shut down their anxious or like wandering minds so that they can focus and seeing the benefit of maybe some improvements in attention and a reduction in impulsivity. So that's when I got started with this topic and really became more interested in it, especially in relationship to working here at this agency. So I was very excited when it was presented to me as a possibility to take part in this, I think it was the Southern California Regional Providers mindfulness group. So I was very excited, and boy, was it a lot of work. It was about 10 months of weekly meetings and practices, including home practice and homework. So definitely gave me a lot of opportunity to practice and to learn more about what I'm going to be assisting staff with learning about themselves and to practice also with their patients. So very, very excited about that.
Yeah, and we appreciate all the hard work and the time you took to learn this technique and to learn this practice so that it could be rolled out firstly to our staff, then to our clients and, you know, whoever else may need it. And, you know, people talk about mindfulness, but, you know, does anybody really fully understand what it is? So what is mindfulness?
So that's a great question, Patty. The definition of mindfulness is it is the practice of paying attention to the present moment with openness, curiosity, and without judgment. So noticing things as they are, both inside of yourself and in the world directly outside of yourself.
And I can see where that's difficult to do, you know, and I think that, and hopefully at the end of the show, people will be a little bit more aware and be a little bit more mindful of how they spend their day. Because, I mean, you know, everything is so fast paced. You know, we're just waiting for the next email. Well, at work, you know, you're waiting for the next email. You're waiting for the next, not crisis, but you're waiting for the next thing to happen. You're waiting for this and for that. And, you know, sometimes we don't just sit down at our desk, and it doesn't take a long time. You can just take a minute to just kind of relax and regroup your thoughts and kind of press pause and just, you know, reset yourself so that you can face the rest of the day. And I until you guys started taking this training, I didn't really think about it a lot. And, you know, after you and Delia Aleman and Adrian Celis and Luis Hernandez took this training, and I was, you know, kind of involved a little bit with it with you guys, not much, just kind of on the outside. But, you know, I started to think, when do I take a minute to just pause and reset? We don't, you know, we're busy. We're doing, you know, we're picking up the kids, taking the kids here, you know, getting dinner ready, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. And, you know, we never really stop to think. So, like I said, hopefully by the end of the show, you know, even if it's just a few of you that will take advantage of the techniques and the training that Andrew has gone through for the last 10 months and, you know, take a couple of the things that he's going to tell us about during today's show into practice, I think it'll be well worth your time to do so and to have listened to this show. So with that said, can you give us a little bit of history? How did this start? Where did it come about? Who said we need to be mindful?
So mindfulness actually goes back, I would say, thousands of years, you know, it was found in its earliest structures in like Hindu and Buddhist traditions, but it comes from the word sati, which refers to moment by moment awareness, pretty much what we had just covered in its definition. So it transitioned into the West, though, in the 1970s by a Jon Kabat-Zinn, who developed a mindfulness-based stress reduction program called MBSR through the University of Massachusetts Medical School. So that's how we're aware of it today. This is how it was brought into the United States and to Western Europe, too. Let's talk a little bit about what mindfulness isn't. So mindfulness is not a relaxation exercise, even though I think a lot of times we hear like, oh, mindfulness, it helps you to relax. Well, it can, but it's not a relaxation exercise and it's not a quick fix. It takes time and it does take practice. So it's also not psychotherapy. It's not a religion or a Buddhist class. And it's not even, in and of itself, it's not even necessarily a technique. It's just, it's a practice. It's something that you do in order to pay attention to the world around you and to the feelings and things that are occurring within your body.
Thank you for bringing that up, Andrew, because I think sometimes I have heard that, mindfulness is more of like a religion-based, something that maybe they don't practice because they're a specific religion. And it really does not have anything to do with religion. It's more of practicing this to build up a skill, right, of slowing down in a time where, as Patricia mentioned earlier, we are so busy with so many things. And then to add to that, you know, what fits in our hand, our cell phones, right? That in itself doesn't help us whatsoever. We may be watching our kids in the playground or in the backyard, or we're watching a show or a movie at home. And more than half of the time, right, we're really not present, enjoying the people that we are with, or enjoying that movie or that show, because half of the time, if not more, we are multitasking, checking our phones and glancing up, with those around us or at the TV screen. And so I think this mindfulness is really a way of helping us be aware of what we're doing. And as maybe we move along in this, in the show, learning ways to help us to be more present, be more aware of what we're doing.
Right. It's that whole concept of being on autopilot, mm-hmm. where we're going and doing, but not even necessarily aware that we're going and doing. You know, right. All of us have stories of our drive to work or our adventure somewhere, and we don't remember even how we got there, right. You know, and it kind of has like a scary aspect to it. It's like, how did I even get there? And mm-hmm. we're just on autopilot. Our body knows what to do. So we got there, but we also missed out on being aware of what was going on around us as we were making our way to work that day. Right. And being aware is taking each moment captive so that we can enjoy it and experience it.
And that's really important, because exactly what you're saying, you know, you're on autopilot, you drive home and you get to the front door and you're like, what just happened? Did I run a red light or something? You know, you think about it. And in a way, that's like you're saying, it's kind of scary, because what did I miss, or did my subconscious just, you know, kick in and take over? Because, you know, we're not fully present. And especially, you know, nowadays you're driving on the road, there's vehicles, there's, you know, everything. That's a scary thought, that you weren't able to pause and reset and go forward, and you just went on autopilot. It's a stressful thing to think about it. And I know, because it's happened to me a couple of times. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we, you know, things catch up to us. And so how can, you know, like this thing with autopilot, you know, when you're driving on autopilot and you're just doing, going, you know, you're suffering, you know, sometimes we suffer through grief. Sometimes we have periods of stress at our job or in our home life or with our significant other or with our kids or, you know, whatever. Life has lots of stressors. So how can we help face those tough things instead of just numbing them? Is there a way that we can, you know, when we kind of see ourselves heading down that path, is there any way that we can just say, no, you know what, we got to reset here. We got to rethink this.
So I think what we're looking for is again, being right where we are when we're there, you know, and trying to stay away from engaging in our wandering mind. So that's where we start looking at and start preparing and planning for things that are not happening, or we're rehearsing or rehashing something that's happened in the past. So studies have shown that, like, a mind that is not focused on the present moment is actually a very unhappy mind. You know, rehearsing involves worry, and rehashing involves a sense of depression or maybe guilt or regret. So when we're in the present moment, we're okay. You know, we're doing what we need to be doing at the moment. So sometimes too, we also over-identify with our thoughts. So we think that because we think something, that's who we are. That's who we are as people, and our thoughts are either good or bad. But really, that's not the case. Our brains are wired to think. We're wired to think constantly. That's our brain's job. But just like our brain has the role to think, our heart has the role to beat. You know, our ears have the role to hear and also maintain balance. So we have so many things that are going on in our systems at one point in time. But what we choose to focus on is what we're thinking about in our mind, you know, as though that's the only thing that's happening in the moment. So also the idea of storytelling. So these are all things that can cause us to not be able to handle stress in a way that we would like to, and may cause us to feel a sense of regret after a situation, with the idea of, I just wish I would have thought about that, or I wish I wouldn't have been so impulsive when that occurred. But it's just because we're constantly allowing our mind to tell stories without any checks, without any balances. And that reliance on the autopilot, or our body to be on autopilot so that we can get things done. So yeah, that's what mindfulness is about, is just being aware of all the things that are happening and not just the chatter inside of our mind.
So what we want to do is we want to bring our, I'm not going to say preset, but our autopilot brain back into the present, back into being aware of what's around you and being aware of things that are happening to you at that moment, and not go on autopilot, because that could be kind of a dangerous thing. So we want to bring the awareness back to our physical body, right? So we want to do that. So, you know, what is something that somebody can do, like, at that instant when they notice that they're kind of maybe starting to spiral into that autopilot mode? I mean, is there something that you can do or tell your body, or something that you can just say, stop?
Well, and there's a few different things. When we start talking about different strategies that might shut down all that chatter and bring us back into our body, we're looking at being one with the present moment, which is just our awareness of our thoughts, because that is a part of the present moment. Being aware of our emotions, also a part of us and the present moment. But we also have other things going on, like body sensations and things that are happening in our surroundings. There are so many sounds that we tune out throughout the day that actually can be used as tools to help bring us back in a state of either calmness or just straight awareness of what is happening. And so that we can make the best choice in the moment. One of my favorites is there's a strategy called the three P's. So it's a brief practice that helps someone reset before a new encounter or a new task. And it's especially useful for providers because it gives them a little time while helping them approach being patient with a fresh perspective. You know, I think one of the things that we've talked about so far in the show is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of time. So this is a way to carve out time in which really has no impact. And so the first step is we pause. We take a brief moment, just a single breath, to cease our planning and our task focus, just to notice the present moment. So, and after we get to that point, we become present, which is noticing the moment, our body sensations, our thoughts, and our emotions without trying to change them. I think a lot of times when we feel something uncomfortable inside of ourselves, we want to stop, but we want it to go away quickly. But, you know, being mindful is not about stopping uncomfortable sensations. It's actually about helping us be comfortable inside that tension. So in the last P is proceed, just responding compassionately with mindful speech to what needs your attention in the moment. So going back over it again, the three P's are pause, be present, and then proceed.
And that's a technique that somebody could take with them or utilize or use to kind of bring them back, I guess, bring them back full circle because, you know, and I guess the thing of it is that it's hard to sometimes see when you're going into that mode. I mean, I can see that there's roadblocks to stopping yourself from doing that. So, because you might not be aware of it, you know, just like, you know, you're driving home and you're not aware that you're not paying attention. Right. You're paying attention, but you're not paying attention. You're not present. You know, you're on autopilot, like you said earlier. And, you know, when people are doing that, I can see that they don't realize that they're doing that. So they're their own roadblock, you know, right, from achieving this. And I mean, is there anything that we could do to take those roadblocks out of our path? Or is there something that how we can achieve this, or, you know, maybe tell a significant other, hey, when you're seeing me do this, can you stop me or something? You know, I mean, is there a way to do that, or how can we reset ourselves, or how can we pause?
Well, and I think, Patricia, that's where it's really important and why I stressed earlier about the importance of practice. Like, mindfulness is not something that we can just immediately do and to obtain the 100% desired result. You know, in this case, like what you're talking about would be a goal that we would set for ourselves to become or to, you know, to evolve into this space. And so the more that we practice taking a deep breath, checking in with our body, going all the way from our toes and working our way up, just checking in, what are the sensations? What do my toes feel like? What do my knees feel like? What does my back feel like? How does it feel to breathe right now? What are the sounds that are around me? What are the things that I'm seeing? How do I feel? Like, those are things that in and of itself, when we carve out time from our day, and it could be a minute, it could be 5 minutes, it really is based on what's best for the person. The more that you do that, that's your practice. And the more often that you are with doing that, the better are you're going to be with doing it. And I would say if you have a significant person that you rely on as a support, we all have cues when we get upset. And that when that person starts to notice our cues, we could maybe ask for them to give us a verbal cue, something like, hey, slow down, or seems like you're getting upset. you might want to take a breath. You might want to take a break. These are all things that can be useful, you know, in carving out that practice.
Well, that's some interesting stuff, Andrew. Really interesting stuff. And, you know, we just need to put it into practice just a little bit more. So with that said, we've come to the end of our first segment. We're going to take a brief commercial break, and we'll be back with our guest, Andrew Wells, and my co-host, Berenice Flint, and I will be right back.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back. We hope you had a chance to stretch your legs and grab a cup of coffee or water. We've got more great information ahead, so let's jump right back in. And so we are here with Andrew Wells. He is an administrative analyst with Behavioral Health Services, and he is giving us a lot of great information about mindfulness. And in the earlier segment, just in case you missed it, we talked about how the everyday life and stressors and responsibilities that we have a lot of times really keeps us in autopilot, right? Where we are just going about our day, not really being very present and enjoying what we're doing in the process. And so Andrew is providing us with a lot of great information regarding mindfulness, and we are going to get right back into it and talk a little bit about more of how the stress of our everyday lives affects us physically. We talked about how mentally and emotionally, right, the stress and the responsibilities of everyday affect us. But what about physically? What is actually happening in our nervous system and brain when we shift from a state of stress into a state of mindful awareness? Can share with us, Andrew.
So what ends up happening when we enter into a state of mindfulness when we're significantly stressed out or even minorly stressed out is we start to breathe deeper. Our body starts to slow down. So our nervous system, you know, begins to slow down. And we start to be able to utilize the air that we breathe and use that to help with our cognitive processes. So we go from a more like a reactive and tense state into a state of awareness, because we still may be stressed. We still might be upset, but we begin to be aware that we are upset, and we begin to start taking deep breaths, and we begin to start using those breaths in a way that can help us calm ourselves down. So at that moment when that happens, we begin to react less impulsive. So we start to do things with purpose. And that purpose allows for us to engage appropriately with other people, to plan the things that we say instead of just blurting things out that we might feel remorse for later on. But the interesting thing about the nervous system is that we talk about stress, and we're talking about stress like emotional stress. But a lot of people are experiencing physical stress related to aches and pains, or maybe even chronic illnesses or chronic pain. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness actually helps with those things too.
So in what way? How does that help?
So what we're noticed, what has been studied in this area is that when a person is under stress and pain, stress, that their body is suffering, but their suffering is more in relationship to their resistance to it. So one of the things that was covered in this course that I was studying for was that suffering, the equation for suffering is suffering equals pain times resistance, or emotional pain. Suffering equals pain times the worry that we have about that pain. Mm-hmm. So the more that we cease to resist and just notice that I'm in pain right now. This is what this feels like to be in pain, whether it's our lower back or it's our head, or maybe it's something like our feet or our legs, or maybe it's a stressful situation that we're having with a friend or a loved one, a child. So just acknowledging that it's happening, mm-hmm. and that it's affecting you, taking the time to take some deep breaths, to slow down your thinking, and to also ignore or to restrict the stories. Because a lot of times we're going to tell a story about the pain or about the event, and that's going to cause us to experience more stress and to experience more suffering. So shutting down the stories and just focusing on what's happening right now in the moment, that I'm not feeling well. I'm here, wherever it is, here is. And it's this day of the week, and it's this time in the day, and this is where I'm at. And so you just ground yourself in the moment, and you start to notice as you focus on the immediate moment and not on the stories, that some of that pain starts to go away because our resistance to it is starting to slowly dissipate. So that's definitely one of the things that's very helpful when we start looking at engaging in mindfulness as a daily practice.
Great, Andrew. And from what you're saying is, I think you bring up a very interesting point with regards to mindfulness, right? That it is not a cure-all, right? It's not something that if you practice it, it's going to go away. The stress is going to go away. The pain's going to go away. The problem's going to go away. It's not, right? It's more of identifying it and being present, be present, acknowledge it, and take those deep breaths and work on just being present, right? Being able to manage what is there at the moment.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Just stopping the resistance, acknowledging that this is happening to me and that it's not okay and that I don't mm-hmm. like it, mm-hmm. but that it will pass and that mm-hmm. this is okay. This is okay because I'm here. I'm here right now and I'm experiencing it.
The acknowledgement. Okay.
Yeah. That could be really interesting and really helpful in, you know, for a lot of people to just kind of, and I'm not saying give in to the pain because that's not what you're saying, mm-hmm. but to kind of acknowledge that it exists and let's kind of move forward, you know, let's breathe, let's relax, let's, mm-hmm. let's see how we can do it, because you're not taking away the root cause of the pain. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you stubbed your toe, you're not going to take away the stubbing of the toe, but you're going to take away the throbbing, or you're going to help with that throbbing that's going to go, and you're going to, you know, kind of be one with it. Would that be an accurate statement? And just, okay, it exists. Let's forward, you know. I know exactly what you're saying, but I don't know how to re-explain it or explain it. And, mm-hmm. but, you know, I guess once you start practicing it, once you do it, you kind of know how to go forward with this.
Right. It's relaxing into the tension, because that's all that experience is tension. It's, we register it as stress and we give it all sorts of names, but really that's just it. It's just tension. And we learn how to relax into that tension.
Yeah. Because I think that what happens is people go, it hurts. And you keep on saying that it hurts. Well, of course it's going to hurt. You know, you keep telling yourself, so say, okay, I'm having pain. It's, you know, let me relax. Let me give into that tension. I know
it's
that
not
I
about
did
magnifying,
it.
Right? Not about magnifying the pain.
And that's pretty cool, because, you know, that can work in our everyday lives. I mean, how many times do we go around a corner and bump our elbow, or, you know, bump our knee, or do something like that? And if you can just take a couple of minutes to just relax into the tension, or, right, you know, ease into that tension, then that can help us.
Something that kind of on that same point, when we're starting, we've talked about physical pain, but we talk also about like emotional pain and disappointment, right? I know that for myself, I struggle with memory, and sometimes it's really frustrating to forget something that was really important that needed to be done during the day. And the go-to is like, how could you have forgotten that? You know, that really inflammatory, very like antagonistic way of speaking to ourselves, which doesn't do any good. It really just makes you feel worse, and it doesn't reverse what had happened. The thing that happened, you forgetting the thing, it's that still happened. So, you know, looking at like just accepting, you know what? I'm a human and I make mistakes sometimes, and it's really unfortunate that I forgot that. And what can I do right now? Well, let me calm down. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. Take some deep breaths and just kind of sit and wait until that discomfort and that disappointment goes away. If you're not pressing against it and you're not beating yourself up, after a while, that just all that negative self-talk just goes away naturally on its own. But the more that you bring it up and the more that you rehash it, the more unhappy you're going to become about a mistake that you made in the past. It's not even present anymore.
And that's true. You can keep going on and on and perseverating about it. Mm-hmm. Would you just kind of say, accept it?
Yeah.
And let's move forward. You know, like you said, we all make mistakes. We're all human. We all do things. We all forget things, you know. And the thing of it is that sometimes something, if we forget it, it might be a bigger thing to somebody else than it is to us. And they, you know, constantly remind it. So we're going to have to ease into that tension that they're constantly reminding us. And so I'll say, okay, well, let's just accept it and move forward kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting. It's really interesting because, you know, you wouldn't think that a technique like this would have so many tributaries or so many ways of helping a person. And this is, you know, I think that we mentioned in the first section, this is something you can do for yourself. You don't need, I mean, you may need a facilitator to tell you, to give you the hows and how fors and stuff like that. But this is something that you can do yourself. You don't need to go into, you know, a therapist's office, or you don't need to go to a doctor's office. You can do it on your living room couch, you know, if you want, or
exactly.
Or, you know, and, you know, I think that we're going to talk a little bit more on the next segment about how, you know, how to introduce this into your life. But, you know, these are things that you can do while you're putting your cream on your face at night, or you're washing your face, or you're brushing your teeth. You know, some of the things that you do on a daily basis that you don't really think of, that you can incorporate a minute or two, depending on how long you brush your teeth. Incorporate this, and I don't want to say technique, because it's not a technique, but incorporate this mindfulness into your daily routine. And, you know,
I like it to be considered a practice.
A practice. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, to incorporate this practice into your everyday life, you know, you can start small and then you'll find a way to carve out some time to do this. And, you know, you can even do this with your family, I would think. I mean, you can all sit down maybe on the living room couch and kind of do this practice and stuff like that. You can teach your family members, your loved ones, your significant others, you know, whoever, even teach your coworkers like Andrew and Adrian and Delia and Luis are going to do for behavioral health. And, you know, eventually hopefully move on to our clients. But, you know, these kind of things, they don't take any money. I mean, it doesn't take anything. You can just do this on your own. And so that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's definite. It's a team builder for the workplace, or it's like family time, like a time of connection and bonding when it's done inside the family. You know, it's even stuff that you can teach your friends once it's something that you learn how to do. I know that that's been a part of my journey, is that I teach everybody, I talk to everybody about it, because I think it's so valuable and it's something that a lot of us are missing, especially when we start, once we leave our house in the day and we have so many things going on, it's, you know, we forget about some of the things we can do to help ourselves.
That's really cool. All right. Well, we have come to the end of the second segment. We will take a brief break and we will be back with our guest, Andrew Wells, and my co-host, Berenice Flint, and I will be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley. Thank you for coming back to our third segment. Today, we're talking about mindfulness, the technique of mindfulness. We have the pleasure of speaking with Andrew Wells, and Andrew was just part of a 10-month training course that him and three other folks from our department were part of. And so he's, you know, kind of fresh out of the training, but has been, you know, doing this himself. Welcome back. And with my co-host, Berenice Flint. One of the things that we want to do for our listening audience and for the folks that are out there is show them a technique or guide them through a technique or tell them about a technique. And so Andrew is going to talk to us about practice, about mindfulness. So take it away, Andrew.
All right, perfect. So one of my favorites is focusing on the sensations inside of our body. I think for me, this is something that really roots me into the present time and space. I start becoming aware that my mind chatter, you know, the stories and the thoughts that I have, you know, are not necessarily 100% relevant in the moment, and that my body's here in space, in time, and to become aware of that. So anyone can do this. This is something that can take as little as 5 minutes, or if you wanted to use a little bit more time, this is something that you could do for 15 minutes. But what you do is you can start off standing. You can be sitting or you can be laying down. You can be sitting on a couch. You can be laying down in a bed. Or if you feel like it's necessary for you to get a yoga mat and sit down on a yoga mat, then that's fine, but definitely not necessary. And you just start by becoming aware of your posture and the position that your body is in at that moment, what the distance between your body and the floor, noticing your body being cradled by the floor or the chair or the ground that you're standing on, and just becoming aware of that and beginning to take a few slower, deeper breaths as you just focus your awareness on sensing that. And then as you start focusing on your breath and sensing the space around your body and the body to the ground, then you begin to check in with some things. I would say a disclaimer that I have, though, is that all of us struggle to some degree with paying attention, and there's nothing wrong with that. And if you notice that your mind wanders off when you're trying to focus on these areas or your breathing, that's okay. That's what the mind does. It's a natural process. And so one of the things that I like as far as imagery wise, it's just guiding a puppy, you know, back to a position right in front of you so that you can pet it. That's really it. You know, it doesn't require that you get frustrated and become, you know, oh, I'm messing up my practice. Absolutely not. It's actually a part of your practice to begin to acknowledge when your mind has wandered off so that you can bring it back to the area that you want it to be attentive to. So as you begin that breathing and you allow your breathing then just to return to a regular state, because you have to recognize that we know how to breathe perfectly well without telling ourselves how to breathe. So we just allow our body to re-engage in that process and then check in. Check in with our feet and the sensations and just noticing what it feels like on our feet at this moment. We start noticing any sensations. Our feet might be inside shoes, or they might be, you might be barefoot, or you might, however you feel the most comfortable, just noticing what's happening with your feet and then moving up to your ankles and noticing sensations occurring in this space, which for most people is a very neutral spot. There's not a lot of sensory information occurring from the ankles. So then moving from there to the calves and the shin, just again, noticing. There's no fancy words or special phrases you have to use. You're just paying attention, maybe asking yourself, what does my calf feel like at this moment? What do my shins feel like at this moment? And then moving up, moving to your knees, checking in with your knees and the sensations present there. Then moving up to the the thigh area, and maybe up to the hips. And then once you get to that area, then asking like what your entire legs feel like at that moment, and how maybe noticing how their sensations have changed since you start paying attention to them. And then moving up to your stomach and your lower back, noticing how the stomach is rising and falling with the breath, noticing sensations occurring inside of the back, and then up to the chest and up to the shoulders. And then once you get up to the shoulders, then just coming back to the hands, doing the same thing for the fingers. How do the fingers feel? And I would encourage anyone that's doing this not to try and change any of the sensations that they're noticing. If you notice pain and it begins to be something that's overwhelming for you, that's okay. Just acknowledge that it's there. And if it becomes overwhelming, you can just return back to your breath and just focus on breath for that moment. And if you feel like re-engaging later, go for it. But you don't have to. You know, and going back to the hands, you know, noticing how the hands feel. And noticing how the hands feel even without moving them. And then moving up to the forearms, the elbows, the bicep, and then up to back to the shoulders. And then checking in with the neck. Maybe swaying the neck just a little bit from side to side, but not a whole lot of movement necessary, you know, and then moving up to the face and the jaw and the forehead, the top of the head. And then once you get to the very top of the head, just maybe taking a few deep breaths and then just trying to feel the sensation of the body as a whole. And just kind of staying with that sensation for a while. And then just ending your practice, just opening your eyes if your eyes are closed, or keeping them open. Definitely not necessary for any of those things. But this is something quick. I think we've went through this in about, I want to say, maybe 5 minutes tops. And you can do it that fast, or you could take a little bit more time for each one of those areas of the body and just really asking that area how it feels and what the sensations are that are present. But yeah, it's that easy. You start feeling nervous during a meeting, or when you're driving, if you start feeling nervous, maybe while you're, you know, engaged in a heated conversation. These are all things that you can do to kind of bring back that you out of the stories and into the present moment. And I was sharing during break with Berenice and Patricia, this is something that I've been using this whole time during the interview, just checking in with my feet and noticing how my feet feel. That's really all that I have to do. It takes me less than a minute to check in with those places.
And you know, I think it's important to highlight the importance of practice makes better, right? So the more you practice it, the better you become. And so encouraging, if you are thinking of maybe putting this to practice, wonderful. That's incredible. That's a great, it's a great start going and doing what Andrew just guided us through. But really important that if your mind starts wandering, if you are not too sure, it's okay. Let's try it again next time, later on today or the next day. And again, practice makes better. The more you start doing it and the more you are practicing it and giving those attempts, I think that the more you are going to be able to master it over time.
Yeah, and I like that. I like practice makes good, because practice makes perfect. Like that's false. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's false. Perfect is an illusion. That's all. So yeah, very good.
Yeah, and it's really important because we just did this, like you said, in 5 minutes. Didn't cost us anything. We didn't have to go to any place special. And if you're at work, you could take 5 minutes out of your 15-minute break to sit there and do this. And it kind of helps you reset. Cause I was kind of following along and doing this stuff when Andrew was talking, and it kind of, especially when he talked about, moving the head and the neck, cause I tend to slouch and not have very good posture. So, moving the head and the neck kind of just helped me. Now, I'm not going to say wake up, but help me feel a little bit more refreshed. And so, and that's something, especially because a lot of us get those 3 o'clock in the afternoon slumps. And something like this, if you're going to take your 15-minute break, you can, use 5 of it to do this, and use the other 10 minutes to do, maybe take a walk around the inside of the building or something, something that can help you kind of feel refreshed and reset, ready to face the rest of the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And, it's really, really important that we do stuff for ourselves, because we are, a lot of us, especially in this profession or working with behavioral health, we take care of other people all day long. If we're not taking care of clients, that's not what our thing is, but we take care of staff. We take care of, making sure that, our coworkers are taken care of, that they're feeling okay. But sometime we need to stop and take care of ourselves. And this is something you can do in 5 minutes to help yourself and give yourself a reset. I think that's something that's well worth it. And like I said, you didn't have to pay for a gym membership, and I'm not knocking gym memberships, for all those you want to, that's fine. But right. This is something that you can do. It's not going to cost you anything. Honestly, you could, sit in your car and do this, especially I'm thinking that after you've been at a long day, you've had a stressful day, you can sit in your car for 5 minutes with the AC on right now because it's hot. and do this before you start your drive back to work or to home, so that you have a different mindset, like when you get home and you're not carrying the stressors of the day with you. You're going to be mom now. You're going to be dad now. You're going to be sister, brother. You're going to be, I don't know, if you live by yourself, you're going to be yourself, pet dog mom or dog dad or whatever, whatever you are. And it'll just give you, a way to do it. And, like Andrew says, he practices this himself. So he knows, he's an expert at this because he's been doing it. And so that's super, super terrific. And, I guess, I don't know, Berenice, if you have anything else you want to ask Andrew, but I have one question maybe before we leave.
Go for it.
So, if somebody's saying, I think we had talked about roadblocks. If somebody's saying, if this is difficult to do, what's the one thing, if somebody's on the fence or just not sure what, how to do this or how to start doing this, what would you tell somebody?
What I would say is that we have a lot of time that's unaccounted for during the day, that we spend scrolling on our phones, answering an email, or maybe even just our mind just wandering, thinking about the thing that we need to do later on during the day. What I would say is that if you can carve out anywhere between 1 to 5 minutes just to check in with yourself, to check in with your emotions, check in with your body, that is a practice. And if you do that every day, you're going to notice that you get better at it. And you'll also notice that you start making decisions and doing things in the moment as though you had spent a lot of time practicing and rehearsing for it.
And, you know, that's exactly right. And, you know, you can do this with your family, your friends, your loved ones. It's awesome. Andrew, we thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to us about mindfulness. And we thank you for all the time that you and your 3 coworkers took in the 10 months, because I know it was a lot of time and dedication spent on learning this practice for us and, you know, for the department and how we roll it forward to people that we come in contact with. So with that said, thank you, Andrew Wells. Thank you, Berenice Flint, my co-host, and myself, Patricia Revolocaro. We will see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.